They said, "Come, let's build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top reaches to the sky. And let's make a name for ourselves, so that we will not be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. The Lord said, "If this is the first thing they are doing as one people, who all have one language, then nothing that they intend to do will be too difficult for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language so that they cannot understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. It was named Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. These are your words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. If you've ever gone through the ordeal of learning a new language, especially if that process is going on right now, it might be a difficult lesson to hear. All of that hard work, all of that repetition, that trial and error of learning a new language, and while I know some of us are weird to bring to that kind of thing, the fact of the matter is, it would have all been unnecessary if it weren't for everything that went down here at Babel. We're reminded that we had a good thing going. One language for the entire world. But then we messed it up. God had our languages confused. Now here we are. But we'd be kind of missing the point here if all we really saw in this was some tragic origin story for travel dictionaries or Duolingo. Because what's really going on here is a lesson that shows us that from Genesis on, we have kept insisting on using our language, communication, to the detriment of ourselves and others. Not that this is something that just started here at Babel, because really all we had on our resume at this point was a near total abandonment of God across the entire world, so that God sent a worldwide flood. But to the 8 survivors, to the 8 believers, Noah and his family, he kind of gave them a fresh start, told them, multiply and fill the earth. But now, probably a couple generations later, there's this group that finds a spot and they want to settle down in this one spot. They say, let's build a city, make a tower that reaches to the heaven, and make a name for ourselves. Now, this doesn't mean that urban planning is the devil's work. We should all be shepherds. Instead, this is really focusing on the part about making a name for ourselves. That's the real problem here, because apparently being scattered over the face of the whole earth was too big of a hit to their ego. They wanted to see what they could do as one group, as one united people. They would all be on that same team. I mean, except for God. They wouldn't really need him. Not if they had one language. They could be God themselves. And that's exactly when that gift of language for the entire world instead became a curse. Because the fact is, once God is out of the equation, even the grandest social projects lead to antisocial behavior. Not that it's always so obvious, because if you were to be seeing this as an outside observer, this building project, you probably wouldn't notice too much going wrong. In fact, it was probably going pretty well. Here they were, literally using their language to build up, create a functioning society. But of course, we know that their hearts were focused on themselves. And that was only going to lead to destruction. So that is why the Lord says, as he sees the progress of this project, he says, if this is the first thing they are doing as one people who all have one language, then nothing that they intend to do will be too difficult for them. It's kind of an ominous statement, especially especially if you read the rest of the Bible or a history book or just look at our own lives, because we know the horrible, horrific, catastrophic things we can get up to with a whole lot of different languages. Apparently, it could have been a lot worse. And so, our triune God says, notice the telltale plural here, come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they cannot understand one another's speech. That's exactly what happened. God confused their language. They scattered over the face of the earth. Now, God didn't do this because he was feeling threatened here. He has power over us no matter what our schemes are. But really what's happening here is we're getting the consequences of our actions. But also, anyway, he's saving us from ourselves. Just consider how we're doing without this universal language. As soon as we get just a little bit of unity with other groups, we can easily turn that and abuse that. I mean, we can do this even with our friendships. Maybe there are people that we feel we have a lot in common with, and we're getting to know them better. But then maybe if we step back for a second, most of what we have in common are just the people we collectively dislike. And so the topic of conversation quickly just starts revolving around how annoying that one guy is who talks too much in class, how the professor is giving too much homework, the coworker is too difficult to work with, a teammate is tanking team chemistry. And now, we're using our social bonds to instead just build ourselves up, our own group, make a name for ourselves to the detriment of others. And of course, this can happen in how we use the gift of online communication. Certainly, it's sometimes the wholesome stuff online that unites us, and that's great when it happens. But we know it's even easier to unite around how maybe we're on the right side of insert political issue of the day, as opposed to those fools who disagree with us. But then there's the temptation to even start doing that and talking about our faith that way. Instead of rejoicing in the truth we know and wanting to spread that around, it's easy to make it about us. Isn't it great that we don't sacrifice our doctrine to the changing culture like those people do? Good for us. And now it's making our whole faith about us, about making a name for ourselves. And now we're leaving God out of it. And as soon as we do that, we're the ones that ascend to that throne. And once we're there, we are a danger to ourselves and others, both body and soul. But God didn't just save us from ourselves here at Babel by separating us from each other. Because there was another time when God said, let's go down there. That's when God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. The Word, that universal language, made flesh. And he dwelt among us to reverse everything that we had done to ourselves with our abuse of communication and all the consequences that came from it. Because while we were scattered like sheep, Jesus showed he is the way by calling all sinners to himself. While we were now living in confusion, Jesus showed he is the truth by proclaiming and living out the will of his Father for everyone. And while we sought to kill him as one people to make a name for ourselves, Jesus showed he is the life by saving us from ourselves, saving us from our sins with his death on the cross, and blazing the path to life with his resurrection. Because his whole motivation wasn't the same as ours is naturally. He wasn't here to just make a name for himself. He wasn't even here to make a name for his personal group, the people of Israel from whom he descended. He was here to share his name with the world. Because yes, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, he's King of the Jews. But above that cross, it's not there just for the Hebrews, because that's there in Latin and Greek too. Because that's the point. God wanted everyone then, wants everyone now to read, to hear that Jesus is their Savior. That desire didn't just end with that superscription on the cross. It didn't end with Christ's resurrection, where he showed that God and the world are now reconciled. It didn't just stop with Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father. Because before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for a helper. And at Pentecost, that's exactly what they got. Once again, God said, "Let's go down there." The Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire on the apostles' heads, and they began speaking in other languages in a big group until everyone there could hear the gospel preached in their own language. It was like a little taste of that pre-Babel world. In fact, there was even a new tower built up that day, the Tower of the Church. And a lot of bricks were laid on that tower that day, about 3,000 in fact. 3,000 new believers. Except this tower is different, because Christ is the cornerstone. And now as more and more were added to that faith, then that tower, it's another brick on that tower. And this one does reach heaven, because it's based on Jesus, the only name by which we are saved. There's one other major difference between the account here of Babel and what happened at Pentecost. God didn't have to confuse the disciples' language to get them to scatter over the face of the earth. The disciples didn't just stay, and all those Christians didn't just stay and use that gift of tongues to make a name for themselves in Jerusalem. No, the Holy Spirit caused them to go over the face of the whole earth and continue to spread that message as that gift of tongues was intended to do. And that's what happened, little by little, nation by nation, generation after generation, right to this very point in time. We're almost 2,000 years and 6,289 miles away from Pentecost. You're hearing in your language, or your second or third language, that Christ is your Savior. And that's all happened because God has worked through believers to continue that, to spread that word to all the nations and to the next generation. It can be kind of daunting and intimidating when we realize we're next in line. It's our turn. We're the ones that are now going and spreading that message. And it's intimidating because we know that if it's all up to us, if we're on our own, we're going to mess it up immediately. But when we have that apprehension, just remember Pentecost. Because if that was the first thing that God did through his one people, the church, who have one language, God's word, nothing he intends to do through us will be too difficult for him. In Jesus' name, amen.